Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict XVI's first part of that two-part book. What do we learn about Christ, and what also do we learn about Pope Benedict?
What we learn about Christ in this book is about his parables. It's a wonderful chapter on the parables of Jesus, and Pope Benedict limits himself largely to the Good Samaritan story, to the parable of the two sons and the good father, and to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And then we learn a great deal about the Lord's Prayer. There's a chapter dedicated to the Our Father. We learn a great deal about the Sermon on the Mount and its Jewishness too. And he ends that chapter with a wonderful, loving dialogue with an American rabbi, Jacob Neusner, who wrote a great book about Jesus, but explained why at the end of the day, as a Jew, he had to say no. And then we learn also things about the symbolism in John's Gospel. And we learn how solid the case is for recognizing that Jesus made high claims. That is to say, he claimed to stand on a par with God. And Benedict organizes the witness testimony for that, Jesus changing the law, Jesus forgiving sins, acting in God's place, and claiming to be the final judge, Matthew 25. And who can judge people at the end but God? It's only God who's got that prerogative. So that's what we learn about Jesus, that he definitely, in his earthly life, made a very high claim about himself to stand on a level, on a par with the God whom he called Abba. And this wasn't a claim invented by Christians later. What do we learn about Benedict? We learn how wide his culture is, how much he's read in scripture studies, in studies of the fathers of the church, medieval, modern writers. He's a man of very wide culture. All kinds of characters turn up there, like Nietzsche, the philosopher. He also got into his first encyclical, God is Love. So there's a lot of engagement with people, and some of it surprised and pleased me, like his engagement with the Methodist New Testament scholar C.K. Barrett. He writes about him very appreciatively, what he said about Christ being the true vine.
Now, there's a great deal of interest in Christ from secular and Christian circles. There have been many treatments and examinations of Christ's life. What do you think that Pope Benedict is trying to achieve? Is he trying to redress the balance of the conspiracy theories?
Well, there are these conspiracy theories, the Badgent, Lee and Lincoln, and then more recently Dan Brown. They come along every few years. A conspiracy is a good way to sell a book, and so and people, you know, have lost their faith in lots of bodies like their government, so they're all set to accept conspiracy views of things. But they're not serious books. They invent evidence, so-called evidence. They misuse evidence terribly. Their arguments are bad, and so much of the stuff they bring in is false. Benedict is really more interested in showing that we do know a lot about Jesus, and it does matter, and in particular we know that he made a very high claim about his own personal divine identity, and therefore it's a mistake to describe him as the final prophet or a great miracle worker. He was that, but he was also something much more. There's a qualitative leap. You can have human prophets and human miracle workers, but the Son of God in person among us, that's something more. So he's trying to redress the balance against some popular writers and scholars who want to give us, a Jesus who's the son of a lesser God, so to speak.
How important do you think it is that a successor of Peter, Benedict XVI, is actually writing on Christ? I mean, obviously we'd expect our Pope to love Christ, but what's the importance of him writing about Jesus?
Well, it's very important. It's we've had very important theological doctrinal statements about Christ from popes, and I think in particular of the one in the 5th century from Leo the Great. His letter is an incredible statement of Christ as one person in two natures, the divinity and humanity being distinct but not separated. But here for the first time we've got a pope publishing as pope a Jesus book, and it's the pope is presenting himself as producing a Jesus book that he hopes in his own humble way will be like Guardini's book on Jesus or Carl Adam. There's some very notable books about Jesus in the past. And so he's presenting us with a Jesus book. But his book will become a bestseller because he is Pope after all. He's not producing this book in his official role as the supreme teacher in the Catholic Church, but as a scholar, as a lover of Jesus, in search of his faith, face of Jesus. So that's the way he presents it, that this is part of his lifelong personal search for the face of Jesus. So, but it's a wonderful thing that he sees the opportunity that, as Pope, this gives great credibility to the book, and it'll sell well. And why do the big publishing houses pick it up? Because he is Pope, and they have ways of getting books onto airport stands. I'm going to the United States on Thursday, and I'll be very disappointed if I don't find it there on the airport stands at Heathrow.